We read an account of Paul writing to the Corinthians, and he was basically giving them his approach to the gospel. And what he was saying was he was starting wherever they were. He would find a way to start where the person that he was witnessing to, exactly where they were in life, and bring them to Jesus Christ from where they were. And that's what we need to do. We need to take a lesson from Paul. If they were under the law, or if they were Jewish, or if they were weak, or if they were strong, or if they were whatever they were, he became like them so that there was a place, a common place, for them to come together and to talk. Paul said he was free from all men, but he made himself a servant to all so that he might win some. All Christians know that we ought to share our faith. It's given to us in the last words of our risen Savior before he ascended into heaven. It's called the Great Commission. It's in Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20, and it reads, "And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen." There's a couple things that you might need to understand about this particular passage. When the Bible talks about nations, he's not talking about the United States or Iran or Iraq. He's not talking about nations the way we understand nations. We think of nations and we think of a sovereign state. Well, in the Bible, nations mean peoples. So what he's saying is reach all the different people in the world, the different groups. Within a nation as we understand it, there might be hundreds of different ethnicities. And as we would go through, the Bible's not saying just bring bring the gospel to this country. He's saying bring the gospel to the nations, to each type of group within the borders of that, and they would call that a kingdom in the Bible. These verses are known as the Great Commission, but too often this passage becomes and is the Great Omission. We leave it out. We know it's there. We know those three verses are there, but we want to glaze over them. We want to read through them really fast because God's giving us marching orders. He's giving us the last command before he ascends into heaven. Go and use my authority and make disciples of all nations. Go and make disciples. The people that learned from Christ were his disciples. The people that followed Christ were his disciples. You didn't have to be one of the 12 apostles in order to be a disciple. Any student is a disciple of the teacher. And so any student of Christ is a disciple. Fear often keeps us from telling others of Christ. And our fear here is limited to embarrassment. It might be limited to somebody saying, well, that's hate speech and you need to knock it off. Well, that's pretty minor, really. There are countries in this world that for witnessing for Christ, you die. You run the risk of being killed by the state or murdered by people that disagree with you. And And then once you're murdered, the murder isn't like it is here, where they would seek some justice in the murder committed. They would look at that as, oh, well, that person brought up Christ and Christianity, so they deserved it. Well, that's going to become the way things are worldwide. Maybe not in our lifetimes, but it's not too far down the road. Personal evangelism is the greatest lack in most churches. You know, most people that know Christ have never led another person to a saving knowledge in Jesus Christ. They've never taken anybody to the cross at Calvary and shown them what they can gain in Jesus Christ. It's the greatest joy you will ever know when you participate in the salvation of someone else. When you see the change that Christ makes in the other person, and they suddenly are alive. They feel the life of Christ. They feel the life of the Holy Spirit. They're cleaned up. They're washed as white as snow. All their sins are gone. It's the greatest joy to participate in that. It's the greatest honor to participate in that. How can we conquer this paralyzing fear and reach people for Christ? How can we conquer this fear that comes over us, where we don't want to speak the name of Christ, where we don't want to witness about Jesus Christ, where we don't want to share the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, and tell somebody about how they can come to know Jesus Christ and have their real problems, their eternal problems, solved forever? Three words, when they're kept in mind, will provide the courage to share our faith. Compassion is the first word. Compassion. Paul said, I am made all things to all men. He was trying to be whatever he needed to be in order to reach the people that he went to reach. By the end of his ministry, they estimate that Paul spoke 22 different languages. So he got out amongst them. You look at his missionary journeys, his road trips, if you will, and you see the places that he went. They spoke many different languages, and they had completely different cultures. And Paul would go in, and he wouldn't try and change their culture. He wouldn't try and make them speak his own language. He would learn their language, and he would observe their customs, and then he would bring Christ into that place. And because he was not offensive in his demeanor, in the way he was to those people, they listened and they heard the gospel of Christ. And he brought many to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Saul, the one that preceded Paul, the same man who was the proud Pharisee, would never have spoken these words. Before he came to know Christ, Saul would never have spoken these words. This highly religious man, speaking of Saul, thought himself above others. Remember, he had authority from Jerusalem to go out and hunt Christians down, to throw them in jail, and even to sentence them to death. Christians were afraid of Saul. Saul had a reputation for getting people killed. He had a reputation for getting people made poor as everything that they had was taken away from them. He had a reputation for messing up people's lives. And so Saul, when he came to Damascus, when he was on the road to Damascus, and he met Jesus Christ, because Jesus came to him, blinded him, and said, it's hard to continue to kick against the barbs that Saul felt. Saul felt the guilt of what he was doing and didn't understand it. The Holy Spirit kept showing him that it was not the right way. And so finally he met Christ, and Christ brought him to himself. And Saul became Paul. And he was changed forever. This new convert, Paul, became filled with compassion for the lost. He pursued them. He prayed for them and pleaded with them to come to Christ. He was all things to all men that he might win some. The former persecutor became a preacher of the gospel. Jesus is the supreme example of compassion, especially on the cross. He stayed on the cross for you and me. He stayed on the cross and died so that our sins would be washed away. He stayed on the cross and became the perfect sacrifice so that God would be satisfied that the sin of the world had been paid for. Jesus' compassion was the supreme example. Real compassion conquers cowardice, and compassion creates courage. If you have compassion for your neighbor, if you have compassion for the lost, then your concern for them, your compassion, will overrule any thought of being afraid. If you really have compassion for them and you're not worried about their reaction to the fact that they don't know Christ and you need to show them Christ, then you're going to witness to them. You have to witness to them because of your compassion for them. Do you love people in your life that don't know Jesus Christ? If you do, have you told them of this Christ? If you care enough, you will overcome your fears and share your faith. Communication is the second word. Paul said, by all means, so that he might save some. Courage grows with a sanctified strategy. You need to pray for an approach that enables you to communicate. Not something that becomes generic and that you apply to every situation. You need to pray that God will give you and show you an approach that enables you to communicate his love and the gospel message to whomever it is that he brings you to. Allow yourself to be all things to all men, that by doing so you might save some. Allow yourself to look at people and understand how they got there, where they're at. Sin got them to where they're at generally. Witnessing at some point requires words. You can do for people just so long, and then you have to say that you're doing it in the name of Christ. You have to point them to Jesus Christ. I'm doing this because I love Jesus Christ, and because I love Jesus Christ and he loves you, I love you too. And because of his love, he did this for you. And you begin to share the gospel message of the sacrifice that he made, so that they will begin to understand where your love comes from for them. That it's not your own love, that it's Christ's love. that it's not your own compassion, but it's Christ's compassion that you are sharing. Look at Jesus in John 4:7, where it says, a woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, give me a drink. He didn't get serious about jumping into the gospel message right away. He just very simply opened a conversation with something that would give him an approach. Give me a drink. And their conversation began. And look at Philip in Acts 8:30. So Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, do you understand what you're reading? And of course the Ethiopian eunuch said, how can I understand it unless somebody explains it to me? So Philip is invited up into the Ethiopian's coach, and he explains the prophecy of Isaiah and the rest of the gospel message that is in the Old Testament, and told him of Jesus Christ, and he came to know Jesus Christ, and he was baptized. Now, granted, Philip had a little help. He was taken up in the Spirit and dropped off pretty close to where the eunuch was. But he opened the conversation with something that was there already. The Ethiopian was reading from the prophet Isaiah. He probably was reading out loud. And so Philip looks at the situation and he said, do you understand what you're reading? And the Ethiopian eunuch essentially said, no, I don't understand what I'm reading. Somebody needs to explain this to me. And so Philip began to explain and then showed this Ethiopian the gospel message in Jesus Christ. And he came to know Christ and was baptized. Try reaching telemarketers. You know, they call you on the phone. They have to stay on the phone as long as you're talking to them. So talk to them about Jesus Christ. Put your faith on the line and be kind about it. Use tracts. Put them in your letters and with bill payments. Give them to hurting people. If you cannot speak without having a completely fearful response, maybe you need to use tracts and let them speak for you. We send Christmas cards the wrong way. You know, we buy two groups of Christmas cards, the generic cards and the Christian cards. And we send the Christian cards to all the good Christian people that we know. And we send the generic ones to all the people that we don't know whether they know Christ or not. We ought to send it the other way around. We ought to send the people that we aren't sure about whether they know Jesus Christ or not the Christmas cards that have the gospel message on them. And send the generic ones to the Christian people that we know, because they'll understand. But you spent your money on your Christian Christmas cards as a witness to those that you know but aren't sure whether or not they know Jesus Christ. Confidence is the third word. Confidence. In Paul's writing, he said, that I might save some. Paul expected results. He didn't expect his efforts and God's word to come back empty. He expected results, and he got results. He witnessed in faith and told people of Christ in faith. And his faith was rewarded by him seeing many people come to Christ. Paul believes what he wrote in Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. He believed that. Stand Paul before kings or judges, and he will share his faith. Put him in a jail cell, and he will witness to his captors and those that are in jail with him. You and I need to expect God to use us in reaching souls. If we do that, then he will do so. If you don't expect to reach people for Christ, then you're not witnessing in faith. Your faith has got to be in what Christ can do, what the Holy Spirit can do, with the message that God gave you to give this person. God can give you a message, and you can speak it and say it to this person. You can have a conversation with them, a compassionate conversation, where you look at their need, and you present the solution to their need. And they can come to Christ, but you need to believe that God is capable of doing what he says he will do. You need to witness in faith. And your faith is the fact that God is still in control. And God will call those that are destined to become his. The summary consists of three words: compassion for the lost, a deep love, a love that's given to you by God for those that don't know Jesus Christ, communication, being able to speak to them. You don't have to know a million Bible verses front and back. You don't have to be able to flip to all kinds of places in the Bible and show them this and that and the other thing. You can tell them your own experience with Jesus Christ, how you came to know Jesus Christ, and what he's done for you because of your acceptance of him. You might have one or two verses that are basically your life verses, the ones that you've stood on for all these years. But predominantly, your witness can be your own relationship with Christ. You need to be able to communicate it. And then confidence, not in your ability. Confidence not in the oration that you've got prepared. Not confidence in what you can do, but confidence in what Christ can do. Confidence in what he will do. Confidence in what God can do. Confidence that the Holy Spirit is with you as you witness, as you give this person the gospel message. Give this person the good news of Jesus Christ. Compassion, communication, and confidence. These things can take away our fear. If we step out on faith, our fear will go away, maybe not immediately, but as we see God work, as we step out in faith and witness to a lost and dying world, as we see people coming to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, as we see a difference in the lives of others, as we participate in the greatest thing we can participate in. And that's being the one who brought the message of the good news to somebody that was lost and watching them accept Jesus Christ, watching their dead soul come to life. Let's reach lost people, because we meet them every day. Every day we have opportunities. Every day we have chances to share the gospel. The question is, do we share the gospel? Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we are grateful for the opportunity to come and open your word. We're thankful, Lord, that you have given us direction by Paul's writing. We are thankful, Lord, that you are faithful, that you will save those who are unsaved, that you will use us in the greatest activity that can ever be done in the sharing of the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, and watching people come to life. Lord, help us to look for those opportunities. Help us to pray for those opportunities. Help us to recognize those opportunities. And Lord, help us to open our mouths and take the opportunity when it comes. We ask these things in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. If you'll take your hymnals and turn to page 611.